Elissa Walker-Campbell is on the air.
Asking the questions you want to know.
With the biggest and best names in sports. Like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson.
I watched our kids in the offseason. You could really tell the work ethic. Our kids have played very hard, and they put themselves in a position where they are right now.
The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa, it's our pleasure. You've always been good to us, and we're glad to be part of it.
Saturdays from 11 a.m. to noon. Hosted by Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Support for programming comes from Pinnacle Bank, where serving customers beyond day-to-day transactions is the Texas way. Pinnacle Bank provides solutions based on local needs and personal relationships. And at Pinnacle Bank, we think that's the way banking should be. Visit us online at pinnbanktx.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Elissa Walker-Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Once again, it is almost time to start hooping it up with TCU head women's basketball coach Jeff Mitty, as his season is just around the corner, and certainly a lot of excitement this past week with the announcement that TCU is headed to the Big 12 Conference, and the other good news, the Frogs women's basketball team has been selected as the preseason favorite in the Mountain West Conference for the 2011-2012 season. So the good times, they just continue to roll, and it is always a pleasure to welcome in TCU's head women's basketball coach, our good friend Jeff Mitty. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing great, Elissa. How are you?
Oh, all is well. And I tell you, before we preview the upcoming season, let's first take time to congratulate you. The big, big news, receiving word in late August that you will be inducted into the Missouri Western State Hall of Fame. A Hall of Famer. Are you kidding me? I mean, you've been a head coach for 19 seasons. Talk to me about, you know, what does this award mean in recognition, not only for you, but for your family? Because you're a dad, you know, I mean, what do your kids think about this?
I don't think they think any differently. I'm not getting any perks at home from it, I can assure you of that. So, you know, I think the neat thing about it, you don't get a whole lot of time to reflect as a coach, because you're always going forward, and you don't get a whole lot of time to go back and see the people that, you know, 19 years ago when I got started coaching at my alma mater, Missouri Western. So it was a lot of fun. I got to go back. A lot of the players came back for it. That was fun. Got to see their families. Got to see a lot of good old friends that I hadn't seen in a while. And so it was a lot of fun. We had some good teams back there, and it was fun to catch up with everybody.
Now, I'm curious, of course, Jeff, you are a native of Missouri, the show me state, if you will. You've been a head coach, as you just mentioned, for 19 years, and an amazing stat is you have won almost 70% of your games. I've got to assume you're looking forward to that next challenge, as you're talking about always moving ahead, moving forward, the Big 12 Conference. And what a great conference to be in, especially when you talk about women's basketball.
We were excited about the Big East basketball, you know, but the Big 12 women's basketball has been the best rated top to bottom across the country. And, of course, I think they're going to have another good year this year. When we join in 2012, they'll be very, very good. So it's a great basketball league. I'm excited for our student-athletes and their families that we recruit, that their families are going to be able to see them play closer to home. And I think it's just, you know, I've been flying all over the country for the 12 years I've been at TCU. I'm ready to hop in a bus occasionally and to have our fans be able to follow us on the road as well as at home, you know?
Well, I got to assume, too, it would be nice to get home at a decent hour, because Mrs. Mitty, I mean, she'll be the most pleased and the recipient out of the whole thing, right?
She'd like a little help at the house occasionally, yeah. Yeah, single parent some days in the coaching. So, it is. It's been, you know, my wife played college athletics, played basketball and volleyball. So she's one that, you know, she would rather drive to Waco, drive to Austin, drive to Norman, then catch it on TV, because she's very involved. So I just think it'll be a great situation. There'll be some great rivalries, and should be a lot of fun.
Jeff, you know, we've had you on the program before. We've talked about your good buddy, you know, Bill Fenley at Iowa State. I got to assume, did he dial you up and give you a call and say, welcome aboard?
Well, you know what? I have not talked to Bill yet. I've been getting a lot of text, but, you know, I was reading the other day that Bill had had kind of a cancerous lesion, so I actually had placed a call into him this morning. And he's doing okay, I've heard, but I just wanted to place a call to him. He's a great coach, good friend of mine, and so I'm praying for the best for him and his family.
Absolutely.
And, we will talk, and Bill will be coaching him hard like he always is.
Yes, and he's a great guy. I've spent time around him. Hey, you are listening to the voice of Jeff Mitty. He, of course, is TCU's head women's basketball coach. We're breaking it all down. We are previewing the 2011-2012 season, and it was interesting. You know, in our earlier conversation on our show, we just talked to Dick Vitale, and one of the points that he brought up about TCU heading to the Big 12 Conference is just geographically, as you're talking about recruiting, but that's going to help you guys a lot in terms of recruiting, because Texas has some great women's basketball players when you talk about in the high school ranks.
Yeah, it really, every year it has some of the best players in the country, and it probably is the best area over the last 10 years consistency of putting out players. So there's some great players here. They'll be excited, I think, about the opportunity to get a great education at TCU and play in the Big 12. So we are excited about that.
Okay, now, Jeff, you've never backed down in terms of recruiting and going outside the state of Texas. Is your philosophy, will that change at all?
No, you know, we've gone, you know, Iceland if we need
Right, that's what I'm saying. Right, right.
You know, but ironically, this roster is a Texas roster. I mean, we have everyone but one is a Texan right now. So now, that isn't always the way. It doesn't matter if they're California. It doesn't matter if they're New York or wherever. I mean, but our home recruiting base is always going to start here. And we're going to recruit Texas kids, and then we'll branch out as we need to.
Okay, we're going to break it all down here in just a moment and talk about some of those Texas ladies. But first of all, let's zero in on your schedule. Of course, Texas A&M, they're going to be headed to the SEC. But my goodness gracious, Jeff, what a schedule you have in front of you. I mean, Texas A&M, you will play the Sooners in Norman, Oklahoma. I know Sherry Cole's going to have revenge on her mind. And you'll be opening the season at Georgia. Just, it's about staying in the moment and taking one game at a time, isn't it?
Yeah, and this schedule will be a huge challenge, as it always is. But we've only got one senior on this roster, Antoinette Thompson. And we've got huge five freshmen. We've got three sophomores. So eight of our 12 players are sophomore or freshmen. So we've got a very, very young roster. So this schedule is going to be very, very challenging. Our group's working hard, though. I really have liked the start for this group. They have really come in with a great work ethic to just get a little bit better each day. They haven't always looked the prettiest. I mean, we've walked out of a couple of these early practices and thought, wow, we couldn't do anything right. But they're working hard, and this schedule will challenge them, because you mentioned the Georgias, the A&Ms, and Oklahomas. They're going to have to grow up very quickly.
Okay, now I'm curious, though, who will fill the shoes of like an Emily Carter or a Helena Severdo? I'm not going to say her last name.
Yeah, Ice is what I call her.
Ice Baby, okay.
It's hard to replace them, because both of those players were able to go inside and go outside. So, but the player, I think, point-wise that can replace them is Whitney Williams. And Whitney started her career at Iowa State. Now, Whitney played in Fort Worth. She's a Fort Worth girl, and we recruited her out of high school as well, and she just decided to come back home. And she, in the Big 12, she was the fourth leading three-point shooter when she left there as a sophomore. So she sat out last year. She'll be a junior this year, and she's playing very well.
Okay, what position is she going to be, a three player or?
She's a point combo. She'll play a little off the ball. She'll run the point some, so both guard spots.
Tell us a little bit about, as far as some of these younger players that you think that, you know, you're molding them, you're getting them on board with your program, but that will be immediate difference makers that you anticipate.
Well, that's a good question. I think Natalie Ventress from North Crowley High School has probably been the most consistent. She's got a nice pull-up jumper, got just a real nice game to her, very athletic, seems to have a great demeanor to her game. And, you know, you got to have – it's tough to be consistent as a freshman, but but she comes every day and just seems to have the same demeanor. Chelsea Prince has fantastic athletic ability. A little more inconsistent at times right now. I've been impressed with her basketball IQ, though, because we're moving her around, and that can be really hard on a freshman. And she seems to have taken everything in fairly well. Only, like I said, we're only about 5-6 days into practice, so she seems to be handling that part of the load pretty well. Other than that, we've still got a lot of work to do. Our freshmen have really, they're going to have to grow up pretty quick.
We're having a great conversation with Jeff Mitty, TCU's head women's basketball coach. We're breaking it down, previewing the 2011-2012 season. They are underway and getting ready. What did Star Crawford, what did she do in the offseason, or what did you challenge her to do in the offseason to take her game to another level?
Well, Star had kind of a tough offseason because she was coming off the injury. She had the concussion.
Right.
They really wanted to be careful with that. So we really just focused on her getting back healthy, and it took a little longer than we wanted. She started to really get better late summer, and she's really been great ever since. So the thing that I'm wanting her to just improve overall is just her feel at the four spot, because we're not, she came in as an undersized center, and we have gradually been moving her to the perimeter more, and she's done a pretty solid job the first couple weeks of practice here. She seems to have taken right where she left off in February, and we're expecting big things from her, because I thought in February she was one of the top three or four players in the Mountain West Conference. And she had gone from a player that rebounder, energy player, that a player that we could go to when we needed a bucket. So we're expecting big things from her.
Getting ready to wrap up our conversation with head coach Jeff Mitty at TCU. You've been enlightening us on the players and, the ones that will come up forward and make a difference. But what was your offseason like? As a coach, there is a time of reflection, I believe, and you think about, how you can retool and what you can do to improve in the offseason. Was there something in particular that you focused on, or do you go hang out with some of the coaches at a lot of these conferences in the off season?
Well, we moved into a new house in the off season, so I hung pictures and moved furniture and did stuff that I'm never around to do. So we had a good off season. I kind of, in evaluating our year from last year, we were able to take some time as a staff and kind of take that month of May to do that. We usually try to take the month of May to evaluate both the season and evaluate the things we need to do going forward. And our staff had a really good month of May. That was good. And then, of course, you're always trying to get a little bit of time off, and my staff was able to do that. But we felt like we had a great summer in preparation. And of course, we were out looking at a lot of players this summer. And it's been an interesting 6 months in college athletics. And it got even more interesting a week ago with our move to the Big 12. So we've just we're excited about going forward. There have been so many great things going on at TCU in my time here, academically, athletically, and it just continues to get better and better.
Without question, it's a great place to be. Give all of our listeners information on where they can get tickets and also where they can see the women's basketball team on television.
You know what? That's a good question. GoFrogs.com has all the ticket information, and that's where all the schedules and all that good stuff. The TV information, we will be one of the top TV teams in the country again this year.
Great.
We are on CBS Sports, which I think that is DirecTV, like 603, and then it's on some of the cable stuff as well. And then we're on the Mountain, I think, five times. So I think a total of 10 TV appearances this year.
The season opens with Georgia, correct, on the road?
It is, and that one's one of the few that's not televised.
Now, that's surprising.
Yeah, I know. That's their TV deal, but A&M's televised. We've got North Carolina State televised. Oklahoma, I believe, is televised as well. And then we've got a good number of our games. Of course, all that stuff is on GoFrogs.com on the schedule part, so fans can go to there and very easily find which games are on TV and all the home games.
TCU tabbed as the preseason favorite. We will have our eyes on you. Congratulations on all your success, and we look forward for more to come.
Thanks, Alyssa.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead in just a moment.
The Big E Sports Show with host Alyssa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter. Under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Here we go. Once again, it is time for our favorite segment, Hitting It Hard on the Gridiron, with our Under the Helmet segment with our Husker hero. That would be Jason Peter. And Jason, oh, by the way, is perhaps recovering from just another outstanding golf tournament last weekend. There's such a long list that I really want to review with you, but what were you the most proud of when you and Sarah have taken time to just kind of reflect on the success of this year's tournament and now teaming up with Larry the Cable Guy?
Well, first off, I'm just ecstatic that you and your family were able to make the trip up. That really meant a lot. You know, it's not like we're right in your back door, so that was certainly a major plus. And I know Sarah and I really enjoyed having you, as well as the group of. Participants in this year's event. It was great. Is there one thing that I guess I'm more proud of than the other? I don't know. It'd be hard to say. I think the thing that I like to see is people having a good time and smiles on people's faces. That you know, it's not certainly not a cheap event. We're not the most expensive event either, but. People just, I think they expect something when they pay a few thousand dollars to participate in an event. And, you know, I've been to a lot of these things, and I think at least half of the time people are usually let down. So when people come up and say, you did such a great event, job with the event, that's really, I think, the most meaningful thing in terms of the actual event. But obviously the bottom line is that we're able to help people that need it the most. And with the Get Her Done Foundation, Larry the Cable Guy's foundation, he's a huge supporter of children you know, with terminal illness or other disabilities that they may have, and he's also a big supporter of veterans. So I know this really meant a lot to him, and, you know, the great thing about his foundation, and I mentioned it the night of the event, is that every penny that's raised goes towards the people that need it. It's not, you know, a matter of paying a list of four or five employees that run the foundation. He's got one guy that runs it, which is shocking enough to think that he's able to pull all that stuff together, as well as they have a golf tournament this weekend. So he's got two tournaments in pretty much 2 weeks to get ready, and the guy really worked his tail off. But his salary comes out of Larry the Cable Guy's pocket. Every cent that is raised goes to the people that need it the most, and that's, I think, the thing that makes him and his foundation so special.
You know, and the guy you're talking about, of course, is Adrian, and he came over, I can't remember what hole it was, maybe on hole number 17, and said, I just got smacked in the head with a golf ball, and he had this huge, you know, swelling on the side of his head. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, he came around and he showed it to me. At first, he was just grabbing my hand and running it through his hair, and I thought, Adrian, what's going on here? There's people around. And he said, now you got to feel the egg I got on my head. Adrian's not really a golfer, so he doesn't really know the correct etiquette, I guess. If somebody's teeing off, there's a good chance that Adrian might walk right in front of the tee shot. He doesn't know the ins and outs of golf, and that's probably what happened when he got pegged by that ball. Is somebody was probably hitting, and he didn't realize it, or wasn't paying attention, or he had something else on his mind. And I've never seen anybody get hit other than Caddyshack, and that was in a different area than where Adrian got it, but still, he's doing well, and the event couldn't have taken place without him.
Absolutely. We are recapping Jason Peters' celebrity golf tournament, charity golf tournament, I should say. We're also going to be talking about Nebraska here just momentarily, but truly one of the biggest highlights for me, I've never had the opportunity to listen to Coach Tom Osborne speak, and I absolutely loved his message. It was so refreshing. You know, we had our 9-year-old son there, Steven, and he really absorbed it too, because it was really just talking about a back-to-basics approach of truth and honesty and taking time, Jason, to really care about people.
Yeah, I mean, that was the message. Not that I take it for granted, but he told us those sorts of things every single day when we would come together for our team meeting at the start of practice. He would stand up in front of us, and there would be something, whether it's about balance in life or honesty or treating people, treating others with respect. This was something that he constantly was preaching to us. He wanted us, his first and foremost, I think, goal for all of his players was that we become good human beings. And I think that was the thing that he was expressing when he spoke the other night. And I think everybody in that room got something that nobody was expecting. Coach Osborne, you don't very often see him get as emotional
as
he did.
Yes, I agree.
There were a few tears coming down his eyes, and it was something special, I think. I think a lot of people walked away from that evening after listening to Coach Osborne and said that was a real treat. And I know for myself, as somebody like I said, who's heard him speak numerous times, that was something that was maybe more special than the others. And the fact that he was able to do it here that night is something that I'll remember for the rest of my life.
Well, and I was going to say too, do you ever just kind of step back and just go, how blessed you were to have been coached by such an extraordinary human being, and just the impact that he's had on you, and even down years to come, Jason, you will always reflect on the message and what he represented, and how he was in many ways larger than life.
Yeah, and I wrote about that in my book. I said that's kind of how I wanted to live my life. When I was going through all my struggles, I would say to myself, what would Coach do? What would Coach Osborne do? And not that I even put myself in the same arena as him, but I would say if I could live my life with 10% of the morals and values of what he does, then I think I would be doing all right. And I really do feel lucky that I was able to play for that man, let alone be his friend. And there's not a day that goes by that I don't think, whether it's a football game or the message or something that had to do with Coach Osborne, and the fact that his last game was my last game as well, and kind of gave him his last Gatorade bath, and although a lot of people around here certainly would love if he would take another run on the sidelines as maybe offensive coordinator, but that's certainly not going to happen. But I feel really blessed and lucky that I had the chance to play for that man.
And of course, you know, Coach Osborne, he's just got to be so proud of where you are in your life now and just your recovery and how you got your life back on track. It's so cool. Well, Jason, let's move ahead. Let's talk about, I mean, who knew the Sooners come to town? We bring you guys a little bit of good luck. You guys got off to a slow start against Ohio State, but in the end, 34-27.
Yeah, it's what's gotten lost in all of the excitement of the comeback win is that it was a bad Ohio State team. It is a bad Ohio State team. This is one of the down years for them. Losing not only the sweater vest, but also Terrell Pryor and Heron, the running back, and they had a bunch of other kids that also were suspended either for the tattoo thing or the overpaid for their summer job. This was just a down year, but it was still a win. It was still a Big Ten game, and you needed to have it. So Nebraska showed something. I think that they haven't shown all this year, and that was that they had some heart and that they were going to come out and they were going to fight. Now, they were fortunate that they were able to knock Braxton Miller out of the game, and a lot of people around here have been playing the what if. What if Braxton Miller was healthy? Well, he wasn't. And, you know, that was always a goal of ours. We always said to ourselves when we played that the best quarterback we can play is the second string quarterback. So how do you get to the second string guy? You knock the first guy out. And not that we were trying to hurt anybody permanently, but just enough to maybe put him on the sidelines for the rest of the game. And that was the case this past weekend. They were able to get the backup in there, and he really struggled when he got in there. And the crowd really got into it, and it was an exciting game, probably one of the most exciting games that I've seen played at Memorial Stadium in the last 10, 15 years. So we'll see what happens if they can build on it. They've got the bye week this week, and then they follow that up with a game against Minnesota, which shouldn't be that tough, but we'll see. They've got some issues out here, and they got to get them cleaned up fast.
Well, and I like the fact that you talked about just, you know, the resiliency. They didn't give up. They continued to show hard, even though that they trailed, in that third quarter, and then they were able to make a comeback. Your assessment, though, of quarterback Taylor Martinez, I mean, some folks are saying that perhaps, you know, the poise and the maturity that he showed, that this might have been one of the best comebacks in the history at Nebraska?
Yeah, and especially because he had been taking a lot of heat this past week following that Wisconsin game. There were a lot of people that were calling for his head. You know, it caused a major ruckus in the media this week with Bo Pelini and Bo firing back in the postgame press conference after Ohio State. He got after some members of the media because they thought that they were too hard on Taylor and that you know, they really want him to fail. I don't know if I would go that far. I don't think anybody in the media wants a 19 or 20-year-old kid to fail. I just think that part of maybe the problem when you talk about the relationship with Bo in the media or Taylor in the media is that they don't really make him accessible. And people want answers.
Right. And
that's what makes Nebraska so special is that fans want answers. They just don't want a head coach or a quarterback to get up there and say, yeah, well, it went well. We won. And, you know, they're off the podium already. They want some answers. And they have treated this kid with kid gloves, I think, since he's gotten here. But the reality is he's on his 18th or 19th start now. Yes, he's a redshirt sophomore, but at some point you've got to let him become his own man. And part of that is getting up and answering questions and not just when you have good games and not just when you win, but it's when you lose. And, you know, when you do get up there after you lose, it can't just be one-word answers or you don't feel like answering that. I mean, if you want a media to rip you apart, that's exactly what you do. And the reality is we're talking about Lincoln and Omaha, Nebraska. I mean, some of these kids are going to get a reality check when they go into an NFL city and they have a real media that is going to get after you. Not to say that the media here isn't real, but, you know, in terms of they don't hold back any punches when you get to some of those bigger cities, and they'll tear you apart. So I think Bo has got to make sure that he has, I think, an open door for the media to Taylor and some of the other star players. But, you know, they've kind of done a good job at spinning the whole thing this past week and making it seem like, you know, this is a coach that kids want to come play for. Look at the way he defends his players. Look at the way he stands up for his players. And
And, you know, it was a smart move on the university's part. You know, this is something that I'm sure parents look at and say, I want my son to go play for a coach that's going to have his back at all times. Look at the way that he's handling the situation with Taylor Martinez. He's got his back. I want him to have my son's back. So, you know, they've been able to do a good spin job with this. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. Taylor, he had a good second half, and he needs to continue to get better and better. And the play calling was good in the second half. Compared to the first half, it was spotty again. And that's Tim Beck. He's the new offense coordinator. He called a horrible game against Wisconsin, and the first half against Ohio State wasn't great either. So he's got to find a game plan that they can use from the first snap, because if you're playing against a good football team, or you're playing against an Ohio State team that, let's say, has Braxton Miller for the entire game, I don't know if this game plan is enough to get it done. You've got to know what you want to do from the first snap. You can't always wait to get to halftime. With some teams, it's going to be too late by that point.
Jason Peter is with us just for a few more minutes this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. As he just mentioned, of course, the Huskers, they've got the weekend off, but they will be on the road on the 22nd at Minnesota. And my final question for you is, give us an update. I mean, Nebraska taking a huge hit, losing Jared Crick to miss the remainder of the season. This is a guy, in fact, I have to share with all of our listeners, he's really idolized you. He's really followed your career during your time at Nebraska.
Yeah, he's a Nebraska kid. He moved to the state when he was just a little squirt, and he's made it public that when he grew up, and obviously 100% of the kids, boys that grow up in Nebraska, they most of them want to come to the university and play football. That's their dream, and he was just a little kid when I was playing, and it's odd for somebody who was probably 6 or 7 at the time, however old he was, to take notice, I guess, of an intensity and kind of a reckless abandon. I mean, that's kind of the way that we played, and he noticed that, and I'm sure his father probably, you know, told him the ins and outs of what was going on out there on that field, but that's kind of the way that he's modeled himself. He's tried to play with that same type of intensity, and make no mistake, he was the cornerstone of this defense. Any defense starts in the middle. You need at least one guy. Nebraska's finding out this year that without two quality guys in the middle, your defense most likely is going to suffer. Most coaches will tell you it's the most difficult position to recruit, is to find big guys that are strong and can run. And Jared Crick was that type of guy. I mean, he's preseason Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. He's All-American. Nebraska is going to take a huge, huge hit. I don't know if there's another player on the defense that would be a bigger loss. Nebraska, like I said, is weak there right now with him because they're not getting much out of the other guy. But now without Jared in there, it's going to be the floodgates, I'm concerned, might be open. And Bo's going to have to come up with something. You're going to have some younger guys step up. And
yeah,
this is the opportunity that every player looks for. You never want it to come by injury. But somebody's going to get an opportunity now to step up and shine. And we'll see what happens. But what a huge loss. Because if you can't be strong in the middle up front, I don't care who you have playing linebacker. I don't care who you got in the secondary. It all breaks down from there. You got to be strong in the middle, and Nebraska just took probably its biggest hit that it couldn't afford.
Oh, I know it, and you feel so bad for Jared. I mean, he's just had such a terrific career. But, Jason, listen, we are flat out of time. We look forward to catching up with you because we got to talk about the big, big news. How about TCU headed to the Big 12 Conference? That's a no-brainer. It connects all the dots, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure people are thrilled down there. And how about Boomer Sooner, huh? Just taking it to the long Longhorn.
Taking care of business. Got to love that. So, Jay, we'll talk next week, and you take care.
All righty. Thanks for having me.
We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.